Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Ah, John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us here on this Tuesday. John, man, it's crazy. We were just talking about how it's only been 1 week, but look at everything that has happened just since the last time we had you on the show here. It's crazy.
It's amazing how in the Trump era, you've seen how news and politics has almost become the new entertainment, because you've got the left acting like absolute lunatics, and then our response to it. It's better than just watching some reality show on the streaming services. I mean, it's more entertaining.
You know, it's interesting. I always hate comparing politics to sports, because I despise these people who treat, you know, their team, their political party, as a team, and they're going to wear their team jersey no matter what, no matter how bad, you know, their policies are, no matter how bad their appointees are, they're going to wear the team jersey no matter what. And that's what a lot of Democrats have done, is it didn't matter how much of a, to use their words, freak show their party has become, their words, not mine, they still keep wearing the team jersey. And they still don't want to stray from the playbook, right? I mean, look at how many Democrats here in Montana. You watch as national Democrats are moving away, are trying to move away from their radical agenda. Not legislative Democrats here in Montana. They are fully embracing the radical agenda that just cost them so many elections here this past couple of weeks.
One of these Democrats that is dead on point, he put out a poll the other day, and they showed 83%, Aaron, 83% of voters that in the last few days broke towards Donald Trump, switched their votes to Donald Trump, did so because of Kamala Harris's video showing her saying she was ready to pay, have the government pay for sex change operations for illegals in prison. I mean, how big of a freak show is there than that?
Well, and again, freak show, their words, not ours. Although I think, John, you probably called them a freak show several times over the past year or two.
Way worse than that.
Way worse than that. Way worse than that. So for those of you who haven't seen it yet, this guy told Politico, oh, wait, where did I put it? I'm looking at a different article now. Anyway, there was this Democrat National Committee, a DNC National Committee man, who basically said that, hey, look, if the Democrats want to win, they have got to move away from basically being the freak show party that they have become. And it's like, their words, not ours. But you watch when the legislative session kicks off in January here, the Democrats in Helena are going to fully embrace the same craziness that just got them booted here 2 weeks ago.
I really hope they do. I want them to. I don't want them to moderate. Just keep on. Boys and girls, fight the power. Be proud. Be loud. Get out there. Like Jen Psaki told him the other day on one of her podcasts, she said, absolutely not. We need to press forward with this all the way. I mean, 100%. I'm behind you, boys.
Yeah, it was Joseph Paulino Jr. He told Politico, I don't want to be the freak show party. Well, you can leave the Democrat Party like many voters just did here in this latest election. All right, we'll talk with John Jackson about potential World War III and more right after this.
Securing America.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in the Philippines Monday, meeting with his counterpart there. The two announcing the signing of a military intelligence sharing deal that's said to help defense ties the two countries face with regional issues. They also broke ground for a coordination center to help facilitate the relationship between the two armed forces.
This center will enable real-time information sharing for a common operating. It will help boost interoperability for many, many years to come. And it will be a place where our forces can work side by side to respond to regional challenges.
The pact is being called the General Security of Military Information Agreement and will allow the secure sharing of classified military information. It comes at a time when there's continued worry about China's policies in the South China Sea, as well as Taiwan. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Hey, the Montana Farm Bureau Convention is underway in Billings, Montana, right downstairs from our Montana Talk studios. So I think we might have some pretty cool guests come up and join us on the show. Well, I know we'll have at least one. Plus, we'll have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us as well. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you call in. Tuesday's Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and we get some cool guests along the way as well. Statewide, right here, 9 to 10 a.m.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, John, yeah, we're making it too easy on them. I miss the days when Hollywood celebrities and far-left activists would threaten to leave the country if Donald Trump was elected president. We're making it far too easy on them. Now they just threaten to leave Twitter. They're leaving X. You know, that's it. I'm leaving X. I'm quitting social media. It's like, why did we make it so easy on them? We were hoping that they would want to leave America, not just leave some social media platform. But
Eva Longoria is going to leave. I guess she did pop out and say she's headed to Mexico. She's out.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
What we were talking about at the break is you got all of them leaving Twitter, including our boy here, Fussy Bussy, who's, you know, said he was going to leave. And here he is every day still clacking out inanities all over Twitter. Dude, you're still here. It's okay. You can leave.
So Fussy Bussy, for those of you who don't know, he was the Democrat candidate for governor here in Montana. He kind of reminds me of Morning Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, where they talk all the trash about Donald Trump. Trump's Hitler. He's fascist. He wants to assassinate his own generals. And now they're like, well, let's go meet him for coffee. And that was Fussy Bussy. You know, here he is. He's the toughest guy on Twitter, promoting gun control, promoting the radical environmental groups. And, you know, constantly like trying to pick fights on Twitter. And then he shows up in our Montana Talk studios and he's like, oh, no, I didn't support gun control. Oh, no, I'm just a normal guy. Look at my flannel shirt. It's like, well, it's like, okay, this isn't the same guy that we saw on Twitter. And then the next time he came, he must have taken crap from all of his Democrat buddies, because then the next time he came in, he tried to be tough guy again. And so it was just like, but apparently he's like Mr. Campaign Expert now. He's given the Democrats all sorts of advice. Hey, here's what we got to do to win. You know, Democrats, we got to do this, we got to do that. And
waxing philosophical and giving strategy to Democrats all over Twitter. Mr. 23-point loser there. Yeah, let's hear all your advice, buddy. I mean, it's like the 0-10 football coach saying, here's how you need to play the game, fellas.
So speaking of Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, I could play the montage if people really need to hear it, but you guys know. They compared Donald Trump to Hitler. They called him a fascist. They said he was going to destroy democracy, that this was going to be the end of democracy as we know it. They said that he wanted to assassinate his own generals. Now, well, this.
We didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
Joe and I realized it's time to do something different. And that starts with not only talking about Donald Trump, but also talking with him.
Oh, isn't that sweet, John? And so now they're just getting hammered by The View and all the other crazy leftists about, you know, for having coffee with Donald J. Trump.
Watch it. See, this is that's the BS flag right there. I'm throwing 15 yards on the defense. There is no way those people got told, Mika and Joe got told by PMSNBC management, knock that crap off. And, you know, somehow make some kind of overture to him, get this straightened out. That's what they went and bent the knee to Donald Trump. And now, here's the beauty of it, Aaron. The entire left wing is pouncing on them. They have just become PNG because now, of course, nobody on our side likes them, and now nobody on the left likes them either. I think they just sunk themselves.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think, you know, it's sad because Joe Scarborough, I thought he showed promise when he was a member of Congress back in the 90s, but I think now it's just clear the guy is a fraud. He'll say anything to get a title, to get a position of power, to make some money. And so, yeah, let them, I don't know what the phrase would be, but it's just like they're, you know, the chickens are coming home to roost here. Nikki Haley, did you see Nikki Haley even went after them? Here's what Nikki Haley had to say on her Sirius XM show.
Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough tore me up when I said anything about voting for Donald Trump or what I agreed with him on, even though I criticized him when I thought he was wrong, I praised him when I thought he was good. They tore me up, but the truth is, it's not that they suddenly saw the light. It's they saw the ratings.
That's right.
I mean, let's be clear. That's they saw the ratings tank, and they realized, oh, we better get on with Donald Trump, or else we're not going to have a show.
Shots fired. All right. Yeah, could you imagine, John, if Nikki Haley was the one having coffee with Trump? Those two would be throwing a hissy fit. But they were ordered to go kiss the ring, so, yep.
I'm telling you, man, they have done themselves in. Whoever made that call to them, you know, really messed that up. Because now, like I said, nobody on the left is going to watch. That was their entire audience, was these left-wing kooks. Those people won't watch them anymore. And now, of course, right-wing people are not going to watch.
Let's sneak in a caller before we get to the break. Francis in Big Fork, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that I'd like to see all the people in the neighborhood. They all got smiles. And at church, and no matter where I've gone, you see smiles. And a lot more than the frowns. And but some people are so brainwashed that, like my cousins, or my husband's cousin, his son is a Republican, and they are so Democrat, and they've hooked. They are just so depressed. They think the world's going to come to an end. And
well, give Joe Biden 2 months. You never know.
Yeah.
Their prediction may be right there. Yeah, well, that's interesting. You know, it's funny. John, has the same been happening to you where, like, everywhere I go, like Francis said, you could be at church, you could be taking your kids shopping, and people are like, oh, man, wasn't that incredible? People are, like, fist bumping you. They're high, they're hugging you because they're so happy with the election results.
They're skipping down the street. You see people skipping down the street doing little kicks, you know? It's a whole new day, boys.
Yeah, that's right. All right, yeah, I'm seeing and hearing the same, Francis. Thanks for the call. We'll get to more of your phone calls here right after this. And what about Ukraine and Russia? And Joe Biden with his finger on the trigger.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Things are a little fuzzy about the historical precedent of releasing Ethics Committee reports about former members of Congress. That became a question as the Ethics Committee was about to release a report on former Florida Representative and Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. The Ethics Panel was on the precipice of releasing a report investigating allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use by Gaetz. The FBI probed Gaetz for years but dropped its inquiry. House Ethics Committee Chairman Michael Guest of Mississippi says the panel loses its jurisdiction and its ability to publish a report about someone once they resign. But Fox found that the Ethics Committee released information on its probe into potential influence peddling by the late Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha. After his death, the Ethics Committee investigated former Florida Representative Mark Foley after he was caught sending inappropriate messages to House pages. Foley abruptly resigned from the House, but the Ethics Panel then hauled in a host of bipartisan congressional leaders for closed-door depositions to determine what they may have known about Foley's activities. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
People in Trump world are not exactly enthusiastic about the nomination of Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth, but Trump is sticking by them. No question about it. New reporting from a lawyer for two women who say they had sex with Gaetz, one of them in high school at the time, has gone to ABC and will do other interviews, saying they essentially put Venmo payments on the screen, that is the House Ethics Committee, and asked about them. What was this for? That was for sex. Another lawyer for another woman said Gaetz had sex with a minor then in high school. Meanwhile, Hegseth is acknowledging that he paid off a woman who accused him, an underage woman, in exchange for an NDA. But Trump values loyalty, and that's what this is about. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Did you...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Yeah, John Jackson, we were talking about this during the break here before we get back into the other big news of the day here. Yeah, Friday night, the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight. I felt bad for Mike Tyson. You could tell his age. I know they say age ain't nothing but a number, but he might look like a beast still from the waist up, but you could tell Mike Tyson's age was starting to show on Friday night, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, and you've seen some of those videos of him training, and he still looks like a beast, but I think that's prior to that health issue he had back in the summer, because you saw him come out of the dressing room and walk toward the ring the other night, and I saw it right in his eyes. Those were the eyes of dread. That man was dreading walking into that ring, but he knows, I'm in financial trouble. I got to get this big payday. I guess I got to go in here and take a whipping.
I get $20 million, just for showing up, so yep. What the heck? Why not? I mean, you'd show up and get your butt kicked for $20, let alone $20 million.
Man, right? For years, I've been down there paying to go get my paying other people to kick my butt.
Here you go, Grindhouse. Have somebody kick my butt today. Thank you very much. That was great.
Yeah, Shane, you want to come over here and break my arm real quick? Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Here, just shove my ear into the pavement for a couple of minutes, if you don't mind. I could use a little cauliflower in my diet. Thank you. Yeah, but Ben, wasn't that hysterical, though, when he's doing the pre-fight interview? And at first, I'm like, why did he just kiss that dude on the cheek? But apparently, that was his son. So I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, Mike Tyson turns around. There you go. Mike Tyson's bare buns on national TV. America's grandpa, ladies and gentlemen. America's grandpa.
You know who Paige Spiranek is? She's a golfer. She's a big social media star just because of how pretty she is. Well, she puts out a tweet, and there's a picture of Mike Tyson's butt, bare butt. And she says, but it's wrong when I do it.
That's hilarious. Yeah, he reminded me of my grandpa, my World War II. Veteran grandpa walking around the house in his skivvies between Summers and Lakeside when I was a kid, you know.
Some other guy said, yeah, this is that guy in the gym, in every one of your gyms, back in the locker room, walking to the steam.
That's what, last Wednesday I went to the gym and I'm like, good night. I was going to text you. I was like, John, it's like old man day at the gym. All the old dudes are in here like walking around naked talking to each other. It's like, okay, would you guys just go get a workout in or something? You know,
there is this reverse modesty thing. I swear to God, that goes on in men's locker rooms. I swear to God. Because you see the young guys or fit guys in there. They are modest. They wear a towel. They get dressed very quickly.
They're in and out.
But the 75-year-olds, dude, they walk around pure buck-ass naked like they're on a runway in Paris.
Oh, it's like, right? It's like old buddy time, too. It's like they don't even go have morning coffee anymore. They're like, hey, why don't we just go to the gym locker room and walk around? It's like, guys, would you get out of the way for a second? The rest of us got a workout to do.
And dude, don't sit on a bench in there. I mean, God forbid, do not sit down on a bench, because one of these guys will come up and just bend right over. And you're staring at the dark side of the moon, right? Right there.
That reminds me of a message we got on the Montana Talks app, pivoting away, from Tim and Savage. Tim and Savage says this: the senile old man living at 1600 Penn is determined to cause as much destruction as possible on his way out. While Republicans may be able to block a flurry of judicial nominees, Biden is going to be successful in creating World War III. American-made long-range weapons are currently falling deep into Russia. John, don't you wish that Joe Biden was walking around naked at a gym somewhere instead right now?
You cannot imagine a more cynical, disgusting, nasty play that they're making right now. And they're basically tempting World War III over there, because, first of all, he gives little Fidel Zelensky their long-range ballistic missiles. They get warned by Putin, if you use those things against us, we will consider that now that we are at war with the United States. So What do? They wait till 2 weeks after the election to give Zelensky the... They gave him the green light on Sunday. Well, here we are today, Tuesday. He's already fired them into Russia.
Well, and that was kind of the point that, you know, because we heard both perspectives on this already this week here where, okay, there's people that are saying, holy cow, is Joe Biden trying to get us into World War III before he leaves office? And then the other take was somebody said, they actually said, okay, well, great. Yeah, why are we micromanaging Ukraine? It's their war. Let them make whatever decision they want to. What do we care? Why didn't you allow them to do this 2 years ago instead of wait till now? And so that's the two different perspectives on it. Josh Hawley had a great soundbite I'll share with you here in just a second on this very topic. But let's get back into the phone lines here. We've got our listener in eastern Montana, goes by the name Tester, was not reelected on the phone lines. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, good morning, my friends, and thanks to our veterans. I wanted to bring up a topic here of the attempted honor killing at a Lacey High School. Lacey's a town right next to Washington State Capitol of Olympia. Used to be blue-collar workers. It's all, you know, it's where my extended family, a lot of them live. So, you know, used to be a brewery there. Most people worked in just a normal little town. A father tried to take the life of his daughter on her high school campus because she refused an arranged marriage to a man overseas, and he did it in front of other students. The father tried to kill his daughter in front of other students. Where's the outrage? So see, it happens in Washington, but those radical leaders are still making huge decisions on a federal level. So then we have hundreds of kids in North Carolina taken by the state from the flood victims. The point is, sure, it's not, like I said, it's not happening in Montana, but unless we talk about it, nobody would ever know. But so, Aaron and John, imagine losing everything, your car, your home, your job, and then they take your children all in 52 days. Completely unacceptable. And as you can tell, I'm fit to be tied about it.
Well,
so anyways,
then,
let's just all say a prayer for everybody. And thank you so much for taking my call. And God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling in. And John, and then to top it off, let's look at Montana here. We've got Stillwater miners from the Stillwater mine who were laid off. The state of Montana is, you know, going in. They're giving whatever help they can. But the feds aren't able to provide hardly any assistance right now because they've spent all of the disaster money, apparently. But they've got all the other money in the world to go to, you know, all this LGBTQ stuff in South America, to go to Ukraine and everywhere else. The State Department's trying to flush out every last dollar they possibly can here in the final days of the Biden administration as a mass giveaway to the rest of the world. But yet this same federal government isn't here providing help to our laid-off Stillwater miners.
$200 billion to Ukraine. And yet you've got people still, families, still sitting in the mud and the cold over there in western North Carolina and having their kids taken away from them. Yeah, and that's one thing. The problem with the whole FEMA issue is this never should have happened. FEMA should be little more than an administrative office that has a pot of federal money to dole out to states when they need it. This should never have been designated as some kind of federal Team America World Police disaster people, because you know it's going to fail.
Sergeant Hammer in Great Falls, next up on the phone lines. What's going on?
Well, it's hard to follow up Lemmy once again. Tester will not be reelected, always hits a hard point and does really well. I do wonder about the Mike Tyson thing. I just got to say this, you know, for an old guy, he should look pretty good.
Yeah.
I couldn't, he does at his age. I doubt you could. I doubt Joker could. You got to have some respect for the intestinal fortitude that took Tyson to go out there and go the distance.
Oh, he and you could tell Jake Paul when Tyson walked out, you could tell Jake Paul was initially like, oh, crap. You know, I think he had that look because, I mean, Tyson, when he walked out, I mean, he looked like an absolute beast. And, yeah, 58 years old to maintain that kind of fitness. I mean, yeah, the age was showing, but that guy's still a beast, that's for sure.
That leads me into my next point is that, you know, yeah, a lot of us are getting older and stuff like that. But now the time that we're going to have to beast up, we're going to have to Tyson up, and we're going to have to stand our ground, defend our freedoms and republic, because there's going to be shenanigans coming on. I mean, you're looking at what Zelensky's going on doing in the Ukraine. Jim was just talking about the threat of World War III. I know that's not going to happen because Trump's already in talks with Putin.
But you're right. We got to buck up. We got to man up, woman up, cowboy up, ranger up, whatever term you want to use, because especially in these next 2 months, I mean, they're going to be trying to shove liberal judges down our throats. They're going to try to do everything they can to hinder the incoming Trump administration. Yeah, well said. Sergeant Hammer, great to hear from you. Art in Boyd. Art, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to remind the people of Montana. I wrote a couple things down. The states are sovereign. The states created the federal government for certain precisely delineated powers beyond which they were not supposed to go. The rest of the power remains with the people or with the states. Read the 9th and 10th Amendments. And we should nullify the courts. And I grew up in North Dakota, and they taught me that two-thirds was greater than one-third. So two-thirds of the government is executive and the legislative. One-third is the courts. So as Dan Bongino always says, just nullify the courts, give them the double-barreled middle finger, and read Federalist Number 46 by Madison. It's very good.
Well, that's that kind of ties in with the conversation I want to have about an hour from now. We're going to have the General Counsel for the American Farm Bureau Federation join us in the House. And one of the things I want to bring up is, okay, in light of the recent Chevron decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court, where they basically said, hey, unless Congress makes a law telling you, the federal agencies, to do something, you don't just get to do whatever you want. That's going to be a massive opportunity for the incoming Trump administration. John Jackson, your thoughts?
And I think that'll play right into it. You heard about this law where they, this regulation from the Biden regime, they wanted to have all the cattle collared with some kind of GPS tracking
device. Like an RFID tag tracker. if you move them across state lines, I think
that's
is what I heard.
That's dead in the water right now.
Yeah, you know what? That's a topic. We'll have to ask him about that topic in particular. If voluntarily ranchers want to track their own cattle using RFID technology, I know some that do. That's one thing. But to have the government force it, and well, anyway, stand by. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go to line three, the Human Z on three. Z, of course, he's got the Behind Enemy Lines podcast with John Jackson here on Rumble. But Z, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Great Lakes greetings. Yes, Z on three indeed. Hey, look, you know, all these celebrities are confused about Twitter because Twitter ain't like the airport where you announce departures. You just leave. You just go. You know? I don't need Don Lemons or Don Lemon or whatever you call him. He's quaffed photo or whatever. Forget it. Leave. It's not the airport.
Yeah. Girl, don't go away mad. Just go away, yeah. Right?
Well,
wasn't that in
the
80s?
Back to the 80s.
That was like there an 80s go. Butt rock song, I think it was.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling in. That reminds me of the Babylon Bee had a great headline here. Chris Tonto Peranto, one of the heroes of Benghazi, he shared this yesterday. To pay back $20 million campaign debt, Kamala Harris agrees to fight Jake Paul. So there you go. There you go.
We thought she had just blown through $1 billion. Well, it comes out the other day, she's blown through $1.5 billion in 15 weeks of all their donor money. They were going through the expenses. But the big one, you know, the Las Vegas Sphere, you know, that giant globe out there? They paid almost $1 million to put her ads all over that thing and run them for God knows how long.
Really? They put it on this? Why would you do that? Like, that's just what a waste of money when, I mean, at least if you're on TV or radio, you could be in all the homes and all the vehicles of all those cars. But yeah, like,
and Trump won Nevada.
Yeah.
$9,000 for ice cream. $15,000 for Uber Eats and DoorDash.
Was the ice cream just the bribe to keep Joe Biden off the campaign trail or Nancy Pelosi? It was payback. Remember her fancy fridge that she had during the COVID-19 era when Nancy Pelosi had this insanely expensive fridge and she was trying to eat ice cream to show how she identifies with the American people. And they're like, wow, look at that refrigerator. My goodness.
You see, Joe Biden didn't even show up for the G20 photo down in Brazil yesterday. They take the big photo of all the leaders that show up for this thing. Biden just didn't show up. And they went ahead and took the pick and split.
Well, John, he is doing really important things right now. I mean, I read yesterday that he is the first American president to ever visit the rainforest in Brazil. It's like, what do you think this is? Just like some sort of paid vacation? Like, hey, I'm going to go start World War III, and then I'm going to go visit the rainforest. I'm going to just go have fun for a little while. It's like this is just one big paid vacation for some of these guys.
Well, transmission came over the radio that was overheard from Secret Services. Code Brown. We got Code Brown, which is a diaper emergency. So that's probably why he couldn't get to it.
Well, where was he at? Was it Peru or where was he at? And they had a photo op kind of like that one, and they put baby in a corner. They put Biden way back in the corner, and Xi Jinping was right up front. I mean, they literally put the American president, just stick him over there in the corner in the back row.
Well, they tried to claim that, we're putting them in alphabetical order now. That's why Joe Biden was in the back. Well, why haven't you ever done that ever in the past?
Well, it wouldn't be in front of X. I don't know. Reverse order. As directed by the Chinese handlers. Patriot girl in North Carolina on the phone lines now. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to follow up on what John Tester was not reelected, was talking about with North Carolina. What people need to understand is that we didn't just have a hurricane in North Carolina. We had an event of biblical proportions. There were 129,000 homes destroyed. There are over 100,000 people right now who are homeless in North Carolina, who are afraid to leave their land because they're afraid it's going to be taken by the government. They are living in campers if they're lucky, but many are living in tents in this cold winter weather. And like what she said, people that the state is coming in and taking their children away from them if they don't have proper living conditions according to some random rules they've set up. Like even if they're in a camper, if they're not hooked into water and sewer, or if they don't have a power pole on their land, then they are taking their children away. And, you know, Duke Power has already said that they are not going to rebuild their infrastructure in a lot of these places, so they have no hope for getting power on their land. What's happening is absolutely criminal. FEMA is nowhere to be found. There is a FEMA camp outside of Asheville that's supposedly housing workers, but where are the workers? They're certainly not doing anything to help anybody. Many people in these areas are being denied even the $750 and certainly not any additional relief other than that.
That's crazy. And where is Tom Tillis? Is Tom Tillis, is he South Carolina? Is he North Carolina?
He's North Carolina.
He's North Carolina. Where is Tom Tillis? Tom Tillis, as I understand it, John, is one of these squishy six Republican senators. Yeah, and it's like, why isn't he standing up to this current administration? But instead, it sounds like he's one of the people that's one of the squishy Republicans that might be standing in the way of a potential Trump administration. And it's like, where is he at right now? And again, back to the point of like, okay, these people in North Carolina aren't getting help. Our Stillwater miners here in Montana aren't getting help out of the feds either. And where's Joe Biden right now? And then on top of that, like, this was the soundbite from Josh Hawley, the senator out of Missouri, that I wanted to share earlier as well.
January 20th, can't get here fast enough. I mean, what Biden is doing is totally reckless, Laura. It is absolutely reckless. And let's not forget, this is a guy who the Democrats decided couldn't be trusted, didn't have the capability to run a presidential campaign. And now here he is, potentially leading us down the path to World War III.
And again, where's the support for the people of North Carolina? Where's the support for the Stillwater miners at the federal level? Our state's stepping up, right?
Tillis is absolutely horrible. I know most people in Montana don't know who he is. I mean, he's not just a squish. He's a Democrat. And he has gone against Trump pretty much on everything. Is all in for all the illegals being pushed into North Carolina. But he's on his way out. This is his last one, and he's out. Thank goodness.
Well, McConnell's on his way out, but again, we're still stuck with it. Even though he's not the majority leader, he's still there. Breaking news, John, just came in. I saw here from FoxNews.com. Judge Michon, that corrupt judge in New York City.
Judge Michon.
Donald Trump's sentencing for 34 criminal charges in the state of New York was abruptly adjourned by the court just now, without explanation, giving the presiding judge additional time to weigh how to proceed. The delayed sentencing came on the same day that District Attorney Alvin Bragg was slated to file a recommendation to Judge Juan Merchan on how to proceed. So basically the whole sentencing of Trump was adjourned without explanation. So
let's see if they're going to want to slide this Thanksgiving, or maybe slide it into Christmas, where nobody's paying attention anymore, and then he'll just come out with the order. Case dismissed, guys. We were just kidding.
Yeah. It's kind of like the whole, he's Hitler, he's a fascist, let's go meet him for coffee. he's a criminal, he deserves to be held accountable. Case dismissed, but yeah, you're right. Save it for a Friday.
Yep.
Right in the middle of Thanksgiving or before Christmas or something like that.
But yeah. They don't want to tell all of their lunatic voters and the people at PMSNBC. They don't want to tell them that, it turns out we never really did have that case. And now that he won, we can't go after him anyway. Aaron, they were prosecuting federal crimes in state court that were beyond the statute of limitations. This would not have made it past your line prosecutor in any city in the country.
But in a way, we owe Judge Merchan a token of gratitude. We want to thank him. We want to thank Letitia James. We want to thank Fannie Willis. We want to thank every single one of these kangaroo court folks out there, because they only made Donald Trump even more popular. And they're a big part of his victory on Tuesday, November 5th. So thank you all for helping to get Donald J. Trump elected president of the United States once again.
Did you see what his lawyer said? This was like a week ago. Letitia James came out in public statements and was defiant, like she was, going to still continue on with this. And his lawyer, I think Davis is his lawyer, came out. You know what? You come on with it. Keep coming. We want you to come, because we will put your fat ass in jail. That was his exact quote, right? I think he said denial of rights or something like that. I mean, they're already planning the charges that they can bring against her.
You know, this conversation about, the state, the government basically coming in and taking away kids from the storm victims in North Carolina reminds me of all of, tens of thousands of missing children as a result of this human trafficking operation on our southern border. Tom Homan, the incoming, border czar, although I hate to use that term czar, Tom Homan, one of his top three priorities upon taking office are saving the missing children that the Democrats basically, lost in the last 3.5 years.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you have been a conservative, and this means establishment, and you've used the right words, or Reagan conservative, and maybe resisted Donald Trump style, I'm telling you, this should be for you your dream wish list in this sense. Conservatives, what have we always talked about? More freedom, limited government, restoring constitutional order. If we're looking at a weaponized Department of Justice, if we're looking at weaponized FBI and politicized FBI and a politicized, intelligence community, then what we have to do is restore these things to their former greatness. And I go out of my way to say what they have done to Donald Trump and others cannot be done to them.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, so you can't wait for Black Friday. Well, neither can Blinds.com, and they are kicking off their savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Now, the holidays are right around the corner, but there's still time to upgrade your home thanks to Blinds.com. and swapping out those old blinds for custom window coverings. It's a small project, but it has massive and big results, and Blinds.com makes it simple, easy, and affordable. Now, a Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. They can even handle everything from measuring and installation, and you can get the window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost, whether it's one window or 100. You're going to love Blinds.com. Now, shop Black Friday mega deals all month long. When you go to Blinds.com, get up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure right now. That's up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free measure for a limited time, thanks to Blinds.com. Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economic research seems to have rules and customs just like anything else. And the custom, for some reason, when people look at the way that income is distributed between rich and poor, in most research, has been to consider pre-tax income from work and investments, and to ignore the effect of taxes and government transfers. The research that gets the attention, that is, because the story that gets loudly reported from this research custom is that the upper 1% of the earners are getting more and more of the economic pie. This gets easily transformed into cries that capitalism is broke and the rich are getting away with murder. What happens if you break with that custom? That's what one pair of researchers did recently, and their findings undo much of the story. Two federal government economists found that, accounting for taxes and transfers, that the inflation-corrected income of all earners has risen, and that the after-tax share of income captured by the top 1% has hardly budged since 1960. I'm Patrick Barkey.
BABBEL.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Yeah, we are expecting a couple of big guests joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of this show while the Montana Farm Bureau convention is taking place. So our Montana Talk studios are at the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings. And kicking off already this week is the Montana Farm Bureau's 105th convention and trade show. So they are downstairs in the DoubleTree, and then about a half a block away at the Northern Hotel as well. And so we're expecting some guests to join us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. And John Jackson will stick around with us here as well. So Tom Homan, the Trump War Room, says the border czar Tom Homan has three priorities upon taking office once the Team Trump gets back into place. Oh, let me see if I can get this one to play for you here. All right. Should have it ready now.
A lot of people have wondered, how is this going to work? So how will it work?
Well, look, I think the president's been clear on the stage. As far as the deportation operation, we will prioritize public safety threats and national security threats because they're the biggest, they pose the biggest danger to the United States. Security, he's got three rails. So we'll do the deportation operation with the priorities I just talked to you out of the gate. That'd be the priorities. Second thing is secure that border. Lock that border down and catch and release and secure the border. The third rail is we got over 300,000 missing children. That over half a million children have been trafficked into the United States. This administration released them to unvetted sponsors, and they can't find 300,000 of them. And based on my 3.5 decades, some of these children are in forced labor. We already found some in forced labor. Some are in forced sex trafficking. Some of them are pedophiles. We need to save these children. That's going to be a third rail.
But 300,000 missing children because of this human trafficking operation on our southern border. And it's like, yeah, while we celebrate these election victories, John, it's also like, what a national tragedy that was created by John Tester and Joe Biden and that whole regime. I don't know if it was Tom Homan, but they were describing how basically you had these left-wing law firms would file lawsuits from these left-wing NGOs, would file lawsuits demanding that these kids be released from these facilities where they were holding people. They demanded the early release of these kids, even though they didn't know whose arms these kids were going to end up in. And so somebody needs to go after these liberal law firms and these liberal NGOs that are responsible for these 300,000 missing kids.
Well, and how is that being funded, Aaron? That's being funded through the budget Okay, so, I mean, this is budgets going back a year or two that Republicans themselves signed off on funding all these NGOs to not only bring people in, but then to, you know, file these lawsuits like you're talking about. That's why I'm going to go back to my Asperger syndrome, okay? This has to be stopped December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. Donald Trump cannot allow them to pass another omnibus budget that's going to lock him in with all that same funding all the way through next year. He cannot allow it.
Well, and to be clear, the Republicans in Congress didn't support, just like they didn't support the woke funding on this, but to your broader point, which is you give them the money, they're going to use it however the heck they want to do it. And that's what they've been doing. Whether they were authorized to give the money to this group or to that group or to drag queen story hour here or there, they would use the money however they wanted as long as they had the money.
It says right in the funding what it's going to be used for. It's not nebulous. It's written right in there, but they just didn't want to fight over it. They wanted the Ukraine money, so they, okay, here you go. You know.
Well, and House Republicans were too busy fighting each other, and yeah. So they had, you know, no hill to fight from, unfortunately. But that's why we need the sheriff back in town, Donald J. Trump back in charge, and hopefully emboldened, empowered, newly elected Republican senators that can start getting some new leadership in there, because, you know, it's just time for some new blood, period, in the United States Senate. By the way, I think one of the Farm Bureau speakers who should be up to join us here in just a few minutes is Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. So that'll be fun seeing him here in the House here in just a couple of minutes. So John Jackson will stick around with us here coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We should be getting a chance to hear from Senator-elect Tim Sheehy for a few minutes, and then the Farm Bureau, the American Farm Bureau Federation General Counsel, and then John and I'll mix it up in between and throughout as well. Fill up your coffee cups. We got a great hour ahead coming up right after your national news update.